We're going to talk about two iconic regional organizations in the Charlotte area over the past several decades, anyway, here on the Carolina Outdoors this segment. Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Bill Bartee. We're going to find out how these organizations are interlinked, and we're going to do it by starting with someone who's no stranger to the Carolina Outdoors, John Searby, as he joins the program. John, welcome.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate you having me.
Listen, we love having you, and of course, you've been on the guest several times over the years as the lead CEO, executive of the Catawba Riverkeeper Foundation. However, as of last year, you are now also the head of both the Riverkeeper and Daniel Stowe Botanical Garden, which is located on the banks of Lake Wylie in Belmont. John, tell us how this came about, and more importantly, maybe why it came about, your leadership of two iconic, if you will, organizations in our area.
Yeah, the how and the why are kind of intertwined, Bill. So as some of your listeners probably know, Catawba Riverkeeper moved our headquarters to McAdenville on the banks of the river back in 2021. And with that move, started getting involved with some of our partners outside of Mecklenburg County, specifically in Gaston County. And I joined a long-range strategic planning committee that the Garden had put together, made up of people from the environmental space, from conservation groups, from the public, from all across the region, really thinking about what the future of the Daniel Stowe Botanical Garden and its 380 acres that sits on the banks of Lake Wylie, what that future was going to look like. And so I was representing Catawba Riverkeeper, kind of bringing the sensibility of an environmental nonprofit to the table and talking about how we, conserve natural resources at the garden. And what we started to learn as we were in these conversations was these two organizations were more alike than we had ever really realized, and maybe more than the public had realized. At their core, both organizations have a group of scientists that are in charge of the mission. At the Riverkeeper, that's biologists and hydrologists and fishery experts and our scientists that protect water quality. At the Garden, it's horticulturists and botanists and folks that specialize in plants and understanding native species and invasive species. And then both organizations have a whole infrastructure wrapped around those scientists to help to support them. So they've got marketing and administration and fundraising and education programs. And so really the two organizations were very similar and working in adjacent spaces. And so throughout some conversations across 2022 and then into early 2023, the two boards started having conversations about, should we be thinking about working more closely together? And so the idea was pitched to look and see, could we have a shared administration of these two organizations and find some economies of scale? Could we share a CEO? Could we share a CFO? Could we share HR duties? Could we share education staff? And so about this time last year, March of last year, we went into an exploratory phase, and I took over as the executive director of the Garden as well as Riverkeeper at that time. And we spent about 6 or 7 months studying it and talking to accountants and talking to lawyers and how is this going to work. And we decided rather than merge the two organizations, we would do what we call a shared services partnership. And so on October 1st of last year, I was installed as the CEO of both organizations. We have three other employees that are compensated by both organizations, and that's our executive leadership team for both organizations. And we keep some things very separate, like fundraising, but we do a lot of things really closely together, like programming around education and outdoor recreation. And, we're doing a lot more scientific collaboration now, too. So the how and the why really came from both organizations needing to grow and then just kind of starting a conversation and talking through it and realizing that, you know, we could do a lot more good together than as individual entities.
Well, with that, I'm going to jump in and start with some of these things that you have helped lead the charge on, and you mentioned it, programming. And it's been a form of outreach for the Catawba Riverkeeper organization, and you have grown that outreach, kind of stepping into the community a bit so. And, of course, Daniel Stowe Botanical, again, as you mentioned, shares that similarity. John, the weather's gotten nice and getting nicer. Of course, we're heading into summertime. It'll be soon. Can you talk to both organizations and what programming has as they both move forward into the spring and then summer months here in the Charlotte area, and how participants can become involved in both? And I guess I'll let you start with the Riverkeeper, which is now based there in McCaddenville. What's happening with them this spring and summer?
Yeah, so starting on May the 4th, Catawba Riverkeeper will start its seasonal kayak rental program. And we've got locations in both Cramerton, in downtown Cramerton, right on the river, and in McCaddenville at the Boathouse, which is also on the banks of the river. And we do kayak rentals every Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. People can just show up at either location, and they can rent a kayak, get out on the river. They start and finish from the same place, so there's places that you can paddle upstream and turn around and come back. So that's kind of a very entry-level, easy way to get on a natural body of water 15 minutes from downtown Charlotte and really kind of get your first taste of paddling on a natural river. If folks are wanting to do something a little more than that, we have monthly eco tours, and these are kayak trips where you're with a guide, several guides from our organization, and those eco tours take you all across the river basin from, you know, up above Lake James, up in the mountains, all the way down to Congaree National Park and everywhere in between. And probably our most popular one that I think you've experienced before, Bill, is paddling the spider lilies in Lansford Canal State Park. And from about middle of May to July 4th, these Rocky Shoal spider lilies that are only bloom in six places in the entire world, we happen to have the largest stand of spider lilies right here in the Catawba River Basin, just about 30 minutes outside of Charlotte down at Lansford Canal State Park. So we do tours like that. The spider lily tours are really popular. So if people are interested and they're listening to this, I would encourage them to go on CatawbaRiverkeeper.org, find our recreation page, and get signed up for some of those eco tours. So, you know, Riverkeeper obviously focuses a lot on getting people on the water. You know, part of the way we go about our work is we want people to engage with the water so that they learn to appreciate and have a passion to protect the water. So, you know, they get out on paddles, we take them on hikes, or they're out on a greenway next to a creek. We hope people are thinking about, as they're outside walking along the water, you know, how do I protect that? How do I make sure that there's clean and plentiful water here for my kids and my grandkids?
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why Riverkeeper.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, because just a reminder to our listeners out there, the Catawba Riverkeeper's mission is advocacy, management, and education of 8,900 miles of water, 26 counties through North and South Carolina, and it's been called the hardest working river in America, namely because of, John, I think it's 3 million people that live within 3 miles of the banks of the Catawba and Watery Rivers. So I guess this programming really is helping bring people to this water, which in this region arguably has been the genesis of our region, from the indigenous people, the Catawba people, and more who lived here, to what is modern day Charlotte Metro, and more now.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Bill. I mean, Charlotte wouldn't be here, and it certainly would not be experiencing the growth it is right now without the Catawba River. You know, it provides drinking water for the entire region, as you mentioned, over 3 million people. But some people forget it also provides electricity for those 3 million people, mm-hmm. because we generate about 97% of our electricity in this region in some way, shape, or form through the Catawba River. It's the hydroelectric units. Obviously, when the water goes across those hydroelectric units, it turns the turbines and creates electricity. But it also cools our nuclear power plants. We have two nuclear power plants here in the region. And it cools our coal-fired power plants. We have three coal-fired power plants. So we wouldn't have, not only would we not have water, but we wouldn't have electricity for the river. And so, you know, the river is everything to this region. It is the catalyst for economic development. It's the most popular form of outdoor recreation that we have in this region, whether that's fishing or hunting or boating, skiing, jet skiing. It is just a massive resource. And so if we can get people out there and enjoying it in a way that they maybe never have done that before, we find that that leads to a greater level of appreciation and understanding.
John Searby is the voice that you hear right there. He is the CEO and executive director of the Catawba Riverkeeper, as well as the Daniel Stowe Botanical Garden. And John, with that being said, let's pivot to one of the most beautiful places along the banks of the Catawba River, along the banks of Lake Wylie, if you will, in Belmont, North Carolina, Daniel Stowe Botanical Garden. You mentioned it before, 380 acres of manicured gardens, trails, fountains. There's even an orchid conservatory there as well. Tell us about the programming and what's happening over there. Of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that it is a celebration venue of degree, whether it be a wedding venue or having a get-together of some sort. Daniel Stowe Botanical Garden is all of that and more. But it also has summer camps available upcoming, as well as a wings exhibit. Can you talk to us about Daniel Stowe Botanical Garden?
Yeah, so this is the 25th anniversary of the opening of Daniel Stowe Botanical Garden. And in the early 90s, Dan Stowe, who was a retired textile CEO here in Belmont, he decided that he wanted to set aside about 400 acres of land that would be preserved in perpetuity. And, you know, in the 90s, Belmont was a much different place. There was a lot of farmland and green space in Belmont in 1999. And so the garden really focused on the centerpiece, which is our formal botanical garden. We have about 11 acres of botanical gardens, and the Orchid Conservatory, as you mentioned, is a tropical house that we're growing plants in year-round. And so when it first opened, it really, you know, focused most of its attention on those gardens. But Dan's vision always was to make this property a place that people could explore nature in whatever form that they wanted to. And as we were going through our long-range strategic planning, we looked back to those original plans, and Dan imagined ways that people could access the lake, and he imagined people getting out on trails, and he imagined places for summer camps. And so we're really trying to lean into that original vision and bring back some of those original ideas that Dan had. So we've added almost 2 miles of trails in the last year. We now have almost 7 miles of trails here on the property. We opened a trailhead store where people, without having to go into the formal garden or pay admission, they can park at our trailhead store. They can grab a beer or a wine or a coffee and just enjoy that on the porch, or they can access all of our 7 miles of trails from the trailhead store, including loops around our ponds, trail that goes down along the lake. And so we're really trying to expand people's view of what the garden is and imagine it as a 380-acre outdoor playground and a place that you can hike and mountain bike and trail run and just enjoy nature and be inspired by nature. And as you mentioned, we're bringing back summer camps this summer for the first time, so a place for kids to come out and explore, whether they're into kayaking or mountain biking or plants or animals. We got something for every kind of interest. And then lastly, you touched on it, currently we have a wings exhibit, which is really a celebration of all the winged animals in this region that rely on plants for their habitat. So we've got exhibits on hummingbirds and owls and bees and chimney swifts and barn swallows and bluebirds. People can come out and learn about all those beautiful winged animals in our region and the habitat that they rely on that we have right here at Daniel Stowe Botanical Garden.
John Searby's the voice there. We're going to put the websites up in the show length. And, of course, if you're listening via the airwaves of WBT Radio, head over to the podcast or jessebrowns.com where you can see these show links. The website to Daniel Stowe Botanical Garden is dsbg.org. And the Catawba Riverkeeper is catawbariverkeeper.org to learn more. John, in regards to, and before I ask this, I'm not trying to make you be CEO or executive director of any more organizations in the shared leadership. So as I ask this question, do not worry. I'm not trying to give you another job. But, I mean, you are, I guess, 7 months into the activation of the shared leadership program of Catawba Riverkeeper and Daniel Stowe Botanical Gardens. You've also, through your leadership at the Catawba Riverkeeper, again, have been really good at sharing information and being a participant in other nonprofits with some semblance of similarity in mission. Is there a recipe 7 months into it for more shared leadership, or maybe I should say more collaboration between partner groups with similar missions?
Yeah, I think the latter is definitely what we're after, Bill. You know, whether that evolves into more formal partnerships, that's hard to say. But, you know, I got into environmental work in the Charlotte region because it's what I care about personally. You know, I think I have mentioned on this show in the past, you know, my passion for the environment came from growing up in central Illinois, hunting pheasants and quail with my grandfather when I was, when I was 8 or 9 years old. And that really has kind of stayed with me my whole life. And so when we moved to the Charlotte region and we're fortunate enough to buy a place on the lake, we got involved in Catawba Riverkeeper because, you know, we just felt like we needed to do something to help preserve this amazing natural resource. And I had an opportunity to serve on the board of the Carolina Raptor Center. Mm-hmm. And what I saw in that role was that there was a whole bunch of environmental groups working in silos around issues that were all interrelated and they were all connected. The same challenges that Catawba Lands Conservancy and Catawba Riverkeeper and Clean Air Carolina and Sustain Charlotte and Tree Charlotte, Carolina Raptor Center, the challenges are all the same, you know, in that our natural spaces are getting fewer and far between, and it's having an impact on the quality of our water, the quality of our air, our ability to get outdoors, our wildlife paths. So those different experiences that I had from being on the board of the Raptor Center to then having the opportunity to take over Catawba Riverkeeper, and now, you know, taking over at Daniel Stowe Botanical Garden has really, you know, fanned this passion in my heart to see these groups work together. And so Because of the simple fact that I'm in charge of two of them, I have a little more clout or a little more, juice to say, hey, let's all get together and talk. And so I've been really pleased with the collaboration that's gone on over the last, particularly the last 2.5-3 years as we've come out of COVID. You know, most of those organizations that I mentioned have new executive directors in the last 5 years. So there's some new mindset, there's some new passion around working together. And, you know, we've all seen the Charlotte region is not just Mecklenburg County and Charlotte anymore. It truly is a region. You know, it's no different than the San Francisco Bay Area or the New York City Metro or Washington, D.C. Metro. It is a region. And when we have a region like this, we have to be approaching our challenges with a regional mindset. We can't be Mecklenburg County working on one thing and Union County working on another and Cabarrus County and York County. We got to come together, and environmental challenges are no different. So that's a really long way of saying, yes, I hope we continue to collaborate, and I am definitely going to be pushing for greater collaboration, not only amongst the environmental nonprofits, but trying to bring legislators from the counties, the cities, the states together to think about, you know, if we can pull off building the sixth largest airport in the country around a region, we can certainly pull off working on environmental challenges in this region together.
Well, kudos to you, and congratulations on you stepping forward and helping set the template. Again, the website's dsbg.org and catawbariverkeeper.org. John Searby, Executive Director of both, thank you, as always, for jumping on the Carolina Outdoors with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Bill. I hope I'll be invited back.
You know you will. Get back to work, though. Busiest man in show business right there, John Searby. Thanks for jumping on. I'm going to jump off, but don't go away. We're going to come back with more of the Carolina Outdoors.